Welcome to Finally Alive Radio with pastoral counselor Gary Harris. To find out more, please go to finallyaliveradio.com.
All right, I'm going to go to Job 3, verse 20. You know the backstory, right? This is where God and Satan, if you will, they have a bet. It involves Job, and he's lost family. He's basically lost everything. And this is some of his lament here. So verse 20, why is light given to him who is in misery and life to the bitter in soul? Who long for death, but it comes not, and dig for it more than for hidden treasures, who rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they find the grave? Why is light given to a man whose way is hidden, whom God has hedged in? For my sighing comes instead of my bread, and my groanings are poured out like water. For the thing that I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, but trouble comes. Now, that's pretty depressing. So I want to talk about that, some depressing stuff there. Suffering, things of that sort. And really, the issue of conflict. It's an interesting thing that comes up in sessions, and it dawned on me this would be a great thing to talk about. That'll be our topic here for maybe a little bit, conflict. And just different views on conflict. And I was just kind of sitting, just kind of pondering, praying about this, looking at different aspects of this. And what is conflict? I guess we can separate that. I noticed this in the sessions. And what is conflict? And when we think of what conflict is, it's an interesting thing. Everyone has a slightly different answer, generally in the same kind of camp, but it's a different take. So I'll kind of separate these here. There's unhealthy conflict. We'll say ungodly. Ungodly, I'll put unhealthy here. Okay, and then we'll say godly. And this is an interesting aspect. Because it seems like suffering is one of the main things that comes up, whether it's interpersonal stuff, interpersonal relationships, but also the issue with people, humans, us, and with God, and the way we view God. If God is so great, then why did he allow this to happen? Then that's this question that just keeps coming up, and it just won't go away. Which leads me to this subject, conflict. I want to look at both sides here. We'll start with the ungodly or the unhealthy. How is conflict unhealthy? Or when? That's probably a better question. So I'll put here number one. When it's abusive. I think that's, start that off real simple. Abusive. Conflict. When it's abusive. Let's see here. Give you some examples, or at least an example. Here's a silly one. Evelyn and I, we have this issue between Coke and Pepsi, who was greater, right? It can go in many different directions. There's a conflict. There's your conflict. We'll keep it simple. We could put this under the abusive category. Evelyn says, I prefer Coke over Pepsi. I don't know why she would. But she says, I like Coke over Pepsi. I just don't like the way Pepsi tastes. I don't know. It's too sweet, too whatever, fill in the blank. And what would an abusive response or answer be to what she just said? Coke is the devil. Okay, there's actually truth to that. Yeah, that is. Though we laugh at it, but some people actually believe that Coke is the devil, right? Foosball is the devil, and I know that's a joke, but yeah, you're right. Can we put that under religious abuse, if you will? Yeah. There's other ways that can make it more real. What if we identify or make this a little bit clearer? When the purpose is to hurt and not resolve. So she says that to me. She says, I like Coke better than Pepsi. I don't like the way Pepsi tastes. Here's an answer. Yeah, we could say what you said. Well, Coke is the devil. Or I can come back and say, well, Evelyn, what do you know? Everyone who drinks Coke is stupid anyway, so you're just an idiot. Dumb response, if you ask me. But what was that? When we say abusive, let's go with the idea here. It's hurtful. It wasn't right. Did that really help the argument? Did that do anything? It did absolutely nothing. So hurtful, did that help us with any kind of resolution there? Absolutely not. You'll notice that the ungodly, unhealthy, very reactionary. So it tends to be a knee-jerk reaction. And let's go through these one by one here. Reactionary. Notice my answer. How did that help our argument? She likes Coke. I like Pepsi. And what did I come back with? In fact, I actually kind of deflected the argument, and I went for a personal attack, basically calling her a name instead of arguing the point. And you guys will notice this in politics, right? You guys notice already some of the behavior that you'll see. You can call it left or right, whatever. So abusive is the most obvious. I'm going to put number two here. Lack of acceptance / understanding. This is an interesting aspect. Don't go in the direction of the hippies where we have to accept everything. That's not the point. But if we're coming from the abusive, a hurtful aspect, I'm not trying to resolve. There's nothing about what I'm going to accept about her argument. I'm not going to accept anything. In fact, I'm not even going to try to understand what you're saying. In fact, I'm going to react and say, no, you're just stupid. You're just dumb. Everything about you is dumb because you like Coke. It sounds stupid, but you guys understand. Do you see what's happening there? Do you guys see the logic of that? Is that unhealthy? Yes. We'll call this my way or the highway, right? Or no way. How about that? My way or no way. With that said, my way or no way. Now, God has this aspect, and it's under the ungodly category. Well, we also have to realize God is above any rule, but he's also not unhealthy. His actions you're going to see are going to line up very well under the healthy category. But there is the aspect of my way or no way with God. What do we do with that? So let me explain that aspect. He has the aspect of my way or no way, but he also has, with Christ, he's also given us free will. The door is open. So it's more of a consequence if you don't do it this way. Granted, you better listen to him, obviously. But it's not so much my way or no way. It's more of, look, do it this way. It's going to end up better. You're going to be better, way better off. Just trust me. Why does he get the authority to do that and nobody else doesn't? He's God. He is perfect absolutely in every way. He actually has the right to do that because everything he does is perfect. So there's going to be this exception of he's the only one who can claim this and actually not be abusive. So I just want to kind of explain that for a second there. And we'll talk more about the acceptance thing and the whole understanding acceptance. You'll see as we do some more examples. What's interesting about this part, the acceptance and understanding, you'll see this in arguments. Here's my retort back to you, Evelyn, forgive me. But what do you know? You just like Coke, so everyone who likes Coke is stupid. What that creates within me is more anger, or you know, whatever you can fill in the blanks. That makes me anxious because every time I see you now, I'm going to think of that, and you're going to trigger me, right? Now I'm going to be upset again. But notice what happens. I go through the cycle all over again. It's unhealthy. That's the problem. Is it goes through this cycle, and what do I do again? Oh, there's that stupid Evelyn who likes Coke. Do you see what just happened? Here's a cycle one more time, and it's doing nothing for anybody. Does that make sense? So it's a weird cycle that it creates. It's totally unhealthy. It goes nowhere. Obviously, this is number three here. We'll put this emotion. It's emotions based. Was there anything in the answer that I gave her that that took us anywhere with the argument? No, nowhere at all. Absolutely emotional. That said, emotions aren't bad. I want to make this very clear. Emotions aren't bad. It's a very good guide. It's going to tell you a lot in like one-on-one. You know, people will come in, they don't know what to do. They're kind of in a weird clouded state. Well, once we start to talk about some emotions, all right, well, what are you feeling? And once they can kind of grasp that, believe it or not, some people can't feel. It's well, not that they can't feel. They've somehow blocked it off. Something has happened in their life to block it off. Long story. But once they can, all of a sudden, we start to know kind of what direction to go with the person. It's the weirdest thing. But emotions become a guide. But if the moment it becomes the leader, we have all the problems in the world. So emotions are not bad. But speaking of the ungodly, unhealthy side, if we're going to argue and I go emotions-based purely, it's going to create an unhealthy, toxic cycle, all right? And then last but not least, of course, is absolute selfishness. Conflict. The point of this is we have to realize that conflict is important. You can't live life without having conflict. You're just going to have conflict. But there's different ways of dealing with conflict. Part of the inspiration for this, I realized there were some people, when we would approach conflict, something would happen to them. Just mentally, physically even, something would happen to them. I'm like, what the heck is happening to these guys? Well, the issue was conflict. Well, because they had lived their entire life, whether it's abuse or broken home, you name it, this is what conflict means to them. That's all that they know. And the moment you're approaching life, because life is conflict, they can't do it. Because all they know is this language. Abuse, reaction, I don't understand, that's just stupid. Well, hey dad, what is that? Why do we have clouds? Go to school, what are you, stupid? Go to school, learn. That's not a good answer. So things like that really affect the kid, right? Anyway, so let's look at the healthy side. Let's start off with number one. What's healthy? Disagreements. How about that for healthy? Disagreements are healthy. Arguments are healthy. Sounds weird. Wait, I feel like that's got to be on the other side. No, Disagreements and arguments are very healthy. You need that. Married? Yeah. Arguments. You're going to have arguments. It's part of life. You're just going to do that. You have friendships. You're going to have arguments. You're going to have disagreements. Conflict is always going to be there. Trying to escape conflict is kind of living in the unhealthy side. You're creating a fantasy that doesn't exist. Conflict is just necessary. You can't escape it. You getting to this church had some conflict in it. Stresses and conflict. And in fact, you texted today, Evelyn. I just thought of this. Hey, I'm going to be a little bit late. There's a conflict here. There's a conflict of time and whatever the case, and I'm a little bit late. That's got to be stressful, right? That's conflict, right? Coming here, standing up, walking, sitting, it's conflict. Temperature in here, whether you like it or not, it's conflict. Small, medium, large, right? It doesn't matter. There's always conflict. Trying to say or trying to escape conflict is the problem. That is the problem. So that's what we're getting to. So we said disagreements, arguments. We have to realize that this is okay. Number two, life transitions, obviously. Go from, you know, adolescent to teenage to, you know, adulthood. One goes to college, one doesn't. These are all conflicts that are just natural. All of us have to go through these kinds of conflicts. You can't escape it. So that's a healthy conflict. It's okay. This one, I think, is the real kicker here. Loss/defeat. I just sat there just asking the Lord, all right, Lord, kind of give me a system here. Let me kind of, because I do this, and kind of just putting it on paper or on the board here really helps to see it, at least for me. But conflict, loss or defeat, this is interesting. And what side is it on? The healthy side? But isn't loss and defeat, doesn't that feel like it's unhealthy? I shouldn't go through this, or why am I going through this? How come this is happening to me? No, it's actually healthy. Without loss, without defeat, you don't understand life. There's no possible way you can understand life. But this side, again, it's more of a fantasy side. It's unrealistic. It's emotions-based. Absolute selfishness is going to say what? I don't want conflict. I don't want to have any problems. I shouldn't have any problems. Oh, very entitled. No, loss, defeat. You have to experience loss to really enjoy, the reward, the gain, the prize. So side note, when you're giving all the kids prizes, that's creating an unhealthy balance. Now, I don't know who thought of that. Was a psychologist? I don't know. I'm going to guess it was, or some sociologist. That's very unhealthy. You're creating a type of illness in these kids. You'll notice, we'll put this here, logic-based, contrary to emotions-based logic, and fact-based. Healthy conflict will be able to come back to logic and facts. And the example I give in sessions is between emotions and logic is I can feel hungry. Like literally right now I can say, oh wow, I feel really hungry. That's my emotions. That's my feelings, if you will, right? My senses talking. Okay, I feel hungry. I'm human. Okay. Now I have the choice. I can say, all right, guys, later, I'm hungry. See you, guys, and just leave. Now, you should be saying, what an idiot. I can't believe you would do that. How dare you leave? We've made this time holy to God, and here you are leaving. That was my emotions, my senses taking over. You're allowed to have the feeling, right? I'm allowed to feel hungry. But my logic needs to kick in and say, okay, you're hungry. After this, I'll go eat. You see, so emotions aren't evil, but they do need to be led by logic. So that's the healthy side. I want you guys to realize the conflict I just brought up there, my hunger. Does that make sense? It's a conflict. It's an internal conflict. I have to experience it. I have to go through it. What if I don't have that internal conflict? What would happen? This is an extreme example. Let's say I grew up my entire life never feeling hungry, but just being fed every 2 to 3 hours, right? What would happen if I'm on my own one day and get hungry? Oh my God, my stomach hurts. I must have cancer. You know, you'll go to an extreme. It's a stupid example, but think about it in bigger cases in life. Last but not least here, humbleness. Humbleness. In fact, I'm going to call this a necessity. This is key to keep it on the healthy side, the godly side. There must be humbleness. So when I'm facing conflict, or I lost the game, or I lost a family member, there must be some sort of humbleness within me, because I don't know the whole story yet. I don't know why did I go through this loss? And the question usually that I think Satan finds a way to sneak in here, if God is so great, then why did he allow this person to die so young? Or something of that sort, something just tragic, right? That's the hardest question to answer. So there's a conflict for you. God is so great, why did he take away, or why did I lose this relationship, or why did I lose this job? It's a conflict, right? That's a really legit conflict that I think we all go through. If we haven't, we will. How do we answer that? Well, let's go on the unhealthy side first. Why not? It's funner. We can go abusive. How do I get abusive? I have to get reactionary and I have to be super emotional. So let's argue that way. Well, what kind of God would do this? Is there really a God? I have to question God, because obviously a good God wouldn't do something like this. He wouldn't take away someone who was 40 years old and let them die. You know, what kind of God does that? Is that even really love, Evelyn? What would you even call that? If your friend did that to you, what would you call that? So notice what I just did there. Crazy argument, but notice what I compared to what? I just compared God to my friend. Total emotions. Everything about that was totally emotional. And none of it was really thought out. It's a good question, though. Why would this happen to me? That's not a bad question. It's the direction I went with it. I went purely emotional. I went purely reactionary. We do that. That's normal. The point is, bring it back on this side. So that's disagreement, arguments. That's going to happen. Loss and defeat. How do I make sense of this? Key is humbleness. How does that fit in? All right, well, God, I trust you. I don't like this. I don't understand what's going on. Help me understand this. And a lot of times he's going to answer that. Maybe not every time, all the time, for every single situation, but he will give an answer. He's famous for this. He does this. He's perfect at it, actually. He will give you an answer, and it'll make sense to you. And sometimes it's not on the spot. Many times it's actually many years later. Because you got to go through your grief, your dip, and then come out so you can kind of think a little bit more logically. Just the way it is. But that's so important. And I'll give you a couple cases here that I can think of off the top of my head. A lady grew up Catholic, so they're older now. They're done, you know, with the counseling. They've dealt with their issue. So when they were younger, they had a child out of wedlock. Parents threw him out, old Catholic. So parents threw him out. They had to figure out life on their own. Fast forward, you know, she's got kids, grandkids now, and I'm with this person. We're done with counseling. We're totally done. And I ask her, okay, well, what are you going to do now? What's next for you? They say, well, I want to go to church and help, you know, the young kids who have kids out of wedlock. Like 16-year-old, 17, it's like a big thing now. I've been hearing it on the news, and I want to go help them. I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. So it's kind of like what you went through. And they stared at me like, I didn't even realize the connection there. Right there in their own life. So what was horrible many, many years ago, God used that for good. I don't like either situation, but that tends to be the case that I see, that God will use it somehow for good. There was another case, a young guy, their father, patriarch of the home, passes away. It was horrible. And they couldn't understand. The person was fit, healthy, you know, worked out, I think, almost every day. I mean, that's like the perfect situation. Why that person? And then they had an uncle or a distant cousin or something who was a complete drunkard. So it's like the perfect storm. The healthy one passes away. The unhealthy one is still alive to this day. So it's like, you know, added bonus there for you. Why did that happen? Well, I'll tell you why. It wasn't because of that person. It may have had to do with just a little bit with that person. But what it did for that person is they learned how to stand up on their own two feet now, because they didn't have, in that case, their father to, not so much to guide them because they were already adults. And in that case, I mean, every case is different. But it's interesting. So there is a silver lining. There is an answer to the whole thing. But I've got to approach this humbly. And really go into it as a student. And, all right, God, well, what is the lesson here? I know there's a lesson. But if I come at it selfishly and all about me and entitled, and I deserve this and I better have this. And if I don't have this, then there's going to be consequences to it. In those situations, it's very difficult. Now, there are always exceptions. And we'll talk about exceptions too. I do want you guys to notice something here. Let's put it all the way over here. Violence. I didn't put the word violence on either side. Why not? Because when I was putting this together, I used the word violent or violence instead of the word abusive. And then later it occurred to me, no, it's violence isn't the right word. It's abusive is the right word. Now, why not violence? I'll give you a second. Because violence seems unhealthy, right? Violence ends up being a neutral word in the sense like the same word like gun. You can use the word gun. It could be used for good or it could be used for bad. Violence is the same way. Granted, we want to stay away from using the gun, right? That's the whole point. We want to stay away from violence, but that doesn't mean it isn't necessary in extreme cases. Does that make sense? In the sense of war. I mean, we see this, you know, it happens. It's in the Bible. There are wars. There are battles that happen. Why does God allow that? Is he unhealthy? Is he ungodly? No. Some things are necessary, unfortunately. In some cases, if they're going to be in the unhealthy category and they're not willing to do any kind of arguing, healthy arguing, sometimes you got to call it quits. Sometimes you got to cut them off. In the bigger cases, yeah, there's going to be violence involved. Here's another example. This is a guy and a girl. They go out somewhere, and the woman is being disrespected. You know, some guy is inappropriately touching her. Well, violence may have to be appropriate at the time, because the other person, maybe they're drunk or they're not listening. And I'm not saying that's the first thing you should do, but sometimes that's what's going to happen. Not because you want to, because it's just life. Does that make sense? Those are extreme cases. So I want you guys to realize I didn't use the word violence on purpose. Abusive, I think, is a lot more appropriate under the unhealthy category. But violence, I would put that under the neutral category. It just depends on, like kind of what you said. It depends on what's going on. So what's the biggest difference? How do you go healthy, unhealthy, or unhealthy to healthy? Trying to formulate the question right here, but it's the word I had is intent. It's the motivation, the intention. That will make the biggest difference. What's the intention? If you've gone through a loss, what's this person's intention? What's that person's intention? Well, we'll look at some more examples as we keep going. This is kind of intro, but this is necessary. There's got to be this constant, you want to call it order and chaos, and whatever you want to call it. There's just got to be this. That's the only way you can actually grow. Another analogy for you, working out, right? If you work out, your muscles, your body, you feel better. Those kinds of things generally happen, right? You eat better. Well, you guys know, eat better, exercise more, those kinds of things. But that's a struggle, all right? That's a struggle. And I'll be the first one to admit, that's a conflict. It's a conflict of interest for me because I like junk food. I like my Pepsis. I would prefer, you know, that heavy, extra heavy sandwich at night. I'm going to be honest, rather than the going and eating a fruit at night after 6 p.m., I'm going to eat the big sandwich. It's a conflict and I'm falling for it. And I guess I'm being selfish. I'm admitting. But at least I can admit it, okay? So give me a break. Is that a conflict? Of course. Everything in life is a conflict. And we're going to have consequences, good or bad. And you'll see this a lot even with politics. We want to get rid of the conflict. We want to get rid of the problems. Well, to what degree? It's interesting. And maybe you've heard of the saying, first world problems. The things that we argue about are not the same things they argue about just south of the border. It's the craziest thing. You know, we argue over very shallow things generally, right? They might be arguing over like who's going to eat the last piece of food because that's all we. I mean, I'm just saying, right? It's an interesting phenomenon, I guess. Life is really easy for us here in America. Praise God, thank God, and I love me some America. Okay, not against it. But then I wonder, is it too easy? You know, with the newer generation especially, everything is right there in their hands. There is no struggle. I mean, at least I got a little taste of this growing up, is if there was something I was interested in, I had to leave the house to get it. If there's a book I wanted, back then before Amazon, I had to leave the house and maybe even call Barnes & Nobles or what was the other ones? Barnes & Nobles, Dalton, there's all these other ones, right? Hey, do you guys have this book? No, but we can order it and it'll be here in 3 weeks. It's like, oh God, okay. But you have to prepay, right? So they've got your money for 3 weeks and you're just sitting here on the edge of your seat. Now you can download it. It's in your hands. There's no more struggle. I mean, maybe that's a minimal thing, but it's a pretty major thing if you think about it. You don't understand the struggle. Ooh, struggle. But there's some conflict there. And that conflict created what? A little bit of patience in me. Maybe it got me to read some other book, maybe whatever the case, but it's just a different world that we're living in. And then I wonder, geez, is this making the world better or is it making it worse? I'm not against the technology. Trust me, look at me, I've got technology everywhere. You know, then I wonder, what do we do with this? What struggles do our children go through to help them dealing with godly conflict? They've got to be able to do this. But if we're going to teach the kids, I'll even say colleges, if they're going to teach the kids, then no, there can't be any kind of conflict. And if there's conflict, then we have to eradicate it, just get rid of it. Whoa. College used to be the place where we can talk about ideas. Agree or disagree, it doesn't matter. At least we could talk about it. That's so important. How else do you grow? I don't know if this is controversial. I like that we have the left and the right. I like that. It allows for argument to happen with some people. And a lot of people, maybe not. But with some people, you can sit down and argue these points. I agree with this. I disagree with that. It's a conflict, but you need it. How else do you grow? How else can the country grow? I mean, think about all the conflicts that the people have gone through up until, 1400s, 1500s, all the way up to 1776 to come up with a wonderful constitution. That took struggle. That took conflict. That took a lot of errors, a lot of losses to come up with that genius idea to put together the most amazing, paper, if you will. That still, thank God, still is a part of this country. And God forbid that thing is gone. It's hell in a handbasket. So anyway. Sounds like I'm going to be off topic, but I'm totally, it's all the same thing. And then you'll run into people who say, I need to find myself. I have to find myself. I don't know. I don't know who I am. I have to find myself. And I call BS on all of it, on all of that. You cannot find yourself by going, up on a mountain, a weekend, go up to a mountain. I'm going to pray all weekend and God's going to give me revelation. Yeah, you got revelation. Okay. You didn't find yourself. I want to make this very clear. Finding yourself is a whole different thing. How do you find yourself? How do you get self-esteem? Conflict. Only possible way. That's the entrance to the whole self-esteem thing. Oh, give them compliments. No, that doesn't do it. Kids don't need the compliments. Well, of course, healthy compliments to a degree. Don't overdo it. But what do they need? They need the struggle. They need to see, oh my gosh, I couldn't do it, but now I can. You know what that does to your ego? Skyrockets. And no one had to do anything. All they had to do was experience the conflict, go through it, actually walk it through all the way through, and oh my gosh, the reward at the end, yes, I got it. You know how that feels? You guys know. You guys understand. That's how you find yourself. When we come to church, you don't find yourself. You get direction. God gives us direction. God gives us a message. But it's not until we leave those doors. This is the point of all of this. This is why I was going through all of this. Not until we leave those doors and deal with the conflict out there, and deal with all the people out there, the craziness out there. That's when you find yourself. That's when you're actually walking your ministry. Being in here is not really, obviously doing this is part of the ministry. But when we're sitting in the pews, that's part of the ministry, but that's not the ministry. That's not you finding yourself. The conflict out there, living it out, walking your faith out, that's right. That's how you find yourself. That's how you find the true you, if you want to go there. You want to build self-esteem? Go walk your faith. We'll see what happens. You know what happens? You fall apart. I can't believe this. Is God really there? And watch. Keep walking and watch what happens. All of a sudden, it's hard for the faith to shake off because you've walked it so much. And you've fallen so much, and you've gotten this thicker skin spiritually so much because of the conflict, and now it's hard. And then someone comes to you with, an argument, or someone says, oh, God isn't real. It doesn't even shake you. It doesn't even faze you. Horrible things can happen. Oh, my gosh, this war. Oh, Trump is president now. The world is going to fall apart, and you're laughing. You're laughing. It's nothing. Trust me. We've went through many good presidents and many bad presidents, and we're still here. We're still alive and kicking. But you can't know that unless you went through some conflict and lived it. Does that make sense? Which takes me to safe spaces. That is the worst thing you can do to any human being. Safe spaces. You are literally creating an unhealthy environment because you are blocking out ideas. You're blocking out anything positive or negative. What happens when you take a child and never let them go outside? They don't experience germs. Oh, good God. Oh, yeah, I don't want them to have germs. That's the worst thing you can do to a child. They need to experience germs. They need to throw up like my kids did on Monday, by the way. Yeah, anyway, I know you guys want to know that, TMI. But they need to experience that. Well, she went to school. There you go, germs. She was exposed to germs. She needs that. I'm happy. I hated the throw up, but I love that she went through it. Why? Internal conflict. Her body went through a conflict and now she's going to grow stronger. It's the same idea with safe spaces. You can't do that to the brain. That's crazy. Even in here, I love that we can discuss things. We can discuss almost anything, I think. It's awesome. It's awesome that we can do that. We can bring the craziest ideas and we can just sit here and like, wow, that's crazy. Let's look at this. Let's look at that. Last week, what we talked about, remember the whole Psalms 22 thing? Was it like a lion or was it the pierced? It was a conflict within me. Oh my gosh, is this real? This is interesting. Let me look this up. Maybe the Jews are right. I want to know. Well, we found out the answer to that, but how could we have grown together without going through that conflict, if you will, together? Does that make sense? It's the only way we're going to grow. Only possible way. So I want to talk more about that. Yeah, safe spaces. Coddling. Who needs coddling? Babies. Babies. Safe spaces creates a coddling mechanism for adults. It's a problem. It's a very big problem. So say this whole safe space, we need this area. That's not making anyone any healthier. I think that's creating a totally ungodly, unhealthy environment because they now cannot deal with conflict. And when conflict does arise, holy hell. Oh, I see this with kids who come out of very wealthy homes. The kids, they haven't experienced anything. Thank God they're well off. That's awesome. That's awesome. But the problem now is the other stuff. They have everything. They don't know what it's like not to have. And the moment they leave the house, they're so stressed out. Some get suicidal. Literally, I've literally experienced they get suicidal because they don't know how to handle it. They've never experienced this kind of conflict. And all it is, and I'm minimizing it, but all they're doing is studying. Generally don't have a job or maybe part-time job. part-time job, they've got the dorm and study. That's everything. Nothing else. And then the weekends are free time, of course. So it's like, wow, I would love that. I wish it was that easy. But imagine what a person has gone through in their life that they can't handle that anymore. They've been coddled their entire life, or whatever the case, right? Maybe the parents were off, and you know, whatever the case. But I think it's an interesting issue there. So we'll talk more about this. We'll look at some Bible verses as we keep going here with conflict.
Thank you for listening to today's message. 2 Corinthians 9:7 tells us that each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. If this message has been a blessing to you, we ask that you be a cheerful giver to this ministry by going to finallyalive.com/give. We'll meet you again next time as we grow together and learn to be finally alive in Christ.